While most of us think that sci-fi films are merely fantasy, there are those who try to push the limits of technology and the human body to make those fantasies a reality. Biohackers are those who want to hack their bodies and minds using scientific and technological advances to modify their own bodies and push the limits of human biology. This includes using technology to optimize and augment the body, and also drugs to expand the mind. Smart drugs, or nootropics, is an emerging market that claim to make you smarter, enhance memory, and make you more efficient. In essence, biohackers are helping to test our limits and are constantly pushing the boundaries when it comes to trying to upgrade us as humans. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be exploring the world of biohacking and if this is simply a trend or the next big movement. Biohacking is a broad and amorphous term that can cover many activities. Popular hacks include intermittent fasting, supplements, or using wearable technologies to track sleep and heart rate. Take that one step further, and then you have things like sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, cryotherapy for muscle recovery, red light therapy for anti-aging, and more that have been popularized by Silicon Valley bros like Jack Dorsey and other famous figures. And then on the far end of that spectrum, you have the blurred edges between tech, biotech, and human. You have things like Elon Musk's Neuralink, which is a brain implant company whose initial goal is to help people with paralysis to regain independence through the control of computers and mobile devices. While it is said that Neuralink is working well in monkeys, he hopes to test it on humans with severe spinal cord injuries like tetraplegics or quadriplegics in the near future. Another company, Synchron, is also working on similar technology as it plans to place a device called the Centrode, which is smaller than a matchstick, into the brain to help paralyzed patients control digital devices. The military is also considering implants for soldiers that may be useful to monitor their health data and even recovering them if they were captured or lost in war. Technology now has made it so that 6 completely blind people have had their vision partially restored via a device that feeds camera images directly into the brain using electrodes, bypassing the damaged optic nerve. Artificial vision is still in its infancy, but so far, the results have been very encouraging. Another recent example using biotech to enhance our senses is the night vision eye drops, which allow test subjects to see in the dark. These eye drops were made with a chemical found in a deep sea fish, and the effects would last for several hours. Scientists are even developing a sensitive artificial skin to make prosthetics feel more lifelike. There's already a material that can sense pressure, moisture, and heat, so it would be used as skin to cover artificial limbs. And advancements in technology and biotech, while rooted out of medical necessity, are now being used by biohackers in order to optimize their own health, personal fitness, efficiency, and longevity. Now to dig some more, we're joined in by Dan Lohran, author and cybersecurity expert. So Daniel, what is the ultimate purpose of all this biohacking?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a large group who want to ultimately enhance human capabilities. And you know, we way back when growing up, we had the $6 million man, right? And we can make them better, we can make them stronger, we can make them faster. And I remember growing up watching that as a boy. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. People want to say, are there ways we can enhance, you know, capabilities for the future? Certainly another thing, piece of this is as artificial intelligence becomes more and more widespread in the decades ahead and becomes more and more common around the world, using that in a wide variety of applications for humans to be able to perform the best. There's more and more talk that you need to have linkages bringing together human and bio interfaces, you know, with machines, you know, to provide the best use of AI, the best use of artificial intelligence, and also technology to enhance human function. So I think that's ultimately where this is going. I think certainly curing diseases is where it's going to really start to really maybe become more commonplace in society. Right now, it's still pretty much a fringe activity for just a small group of people around the world when you look at the billions of people that live worldwide.
And do you think this is a dangerous trend? We hear of celebrities like Jack Dorsey or Grimes doing all sorts of routines and hacks to obtain what they believe is optimal health and state of mind. But does it actually work, or can it be dangerous?
I absolutely think it can be dangerous. And I mean, I actually come from cybersecurity world background at the National Security Agency and been in cybersecurity my whole life. And, you know, I think the fears are in many cases well-founded that how will that data be used? How will the information be used? Could it be misused by government or others? Just in the same way that, you know, maybe data has been misused by some social media companies, used to, to create situations where people are attracted into doing things that might be harmful, or could this data be, could this technology and or our data be misused? And I think that's where the danger comes in. And I think there's going to be experimentation, there's going to be testing. I don't think it's all or nothing, you know, but I do think people worry about everything from 1984, you know, Big Brother. And then this is more like, okay, control. So I think winning people over, when I posted this kind of my articles, I've done several different articles on this topic and on LinkedIn, it was like 90% or more greater were against it. They said, this is not good. I'm never gonna put a chip in my body. I'm never going there. So that's why I say initially, I think the adoption is really gonna be for medical uses, for uses where you can show that, hey, this can really either heal a disease or greatly enhance and provide the ability for men and women, for people to be able to, overcome disabilities, to solve medical problems. And as that becomes more widespread, then I think people are going to maybe be more open to the wider piece. But yes, I do think it could be dangerous, and I do think it could be misused.
And now a lot of these biohacks, they're not backed by enough scientific data. And yet you have some people going to extreme lengths, like modifying their own genome. So are things like this being regulated?
Not right now. They need to be. I mean, I totally agree that those are challenges. And I think, you know, bleeding edge aspects of this are scary. It's stuff movies are made of. So I absolutely believe that more regulation needs to be coming. It needs to be, scientific evidence needs to be provided. There needs to be reasonable, basically safeguards put in place. And that, right now, today, as we, record this, this is really bleeding edge technology. And so I think the proof's need to come from those who are pushing the envelope in this area, Neuralink and others that are going to be coming out with new technology to do this in more and more areas. And I think a lot of people are going to be skeptical initially. It's going to take time to build trust with society and who has the control over these. And I think it's going to take time to really build that trust.
And while a lot of the biohackers and neurohackers claim positive boosts from their efforts, how can they be sure it's merely isn't a placebo effect?
I don't think you can be sure. I mean, again, I think you have to have, there's reasons why they do double blind tests. There's reasons why, needs to be verified over time and over, using scientific methods. So yeah, I don't believe it currently as it stands today, where we're at in late 2022, that is something that is acceptable currently. So I would say, be careful.
And now there are some extreme methods on the border on ethically ambiguous territories, things like young blood transfusions, where you transfuse the blood of someone younger and healthier. How do you see this industry evolving?
That's a great question. I'm not a doctor, so I'm looking at this mainly from a cybersecurity perspective and from just the perspective of professionals in the United States and the trends that are happening and the merger of a lot of different fields in science and medicine and technology and you know, I do see more and more, you know, advancements in this area. I think that, you know, people are talking, broadly speaking, that we could have artificial intelligence at the basic human level of a 10-year-old or of a you know, teenager within you know 15 years. So I've heard dates like 2040, 2038, we could have of that kind of thing. So I certainly think we're going to be seeing more and more of this. I think you're going to see more advancements, you know, but I think you're going to have two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. Just like, you know, a few years ago, we were talking about by 2025, all vehicles will be autonomous or all new vehicles will be autonomous. It's clear that's not going to be happening. We are going to head for autonomous vehicles, but it's going to take maybe, some people are now saying decades to get there. So I do think that this is going to take time, but I do think that people are going to be pushing the envelope and we need to have regulations around it. We need to be thinking clearly about this and it's going to take time to do that.
Thank you so much, Dan Lowron, for your time and insight. But medical necessities aside, would you pay to receive a chip implant if it offered some other optional medical enhancements for your body? Most of these advancements arrived out of medical necessity, but technology has advanced to offer more. Things like deep brain stimulation, which started out as a treatment for Parkinson's disease, now suggests that a chip implant can boost your memory. So would you pay to push the limits of the human body and hack your biology to be more efficient, stronger, faster, better? And how much do these advanced technologies cost to develop? We'll have more after the break.
So what we've got to do is identify the threats that we have.
It's crazy.
Confrontation, let it be an arms race.
Who is on offense? Very dramatic development.
I personally am going to resist.
I don't see how that strategy will be successful.
Very critical time.
Time to sit down and talk.
In the year of 1954, the United States of America engaged in warfare against the people of Vietnam. The White House supported the corrupt puppet government of Southern Vietnam. In 1965, Americans began their invasion following the aim to defeat the forces of Vietnamese patriots. The Pentagon was confident that the victory would be on the American side due to its military superiority. However, the Vietnamese turned this war into total hell for the occupants. Unable to cope with the guerrillas, the American Army started blanket bombing alongside using chemical weapons and napalm, which burnt all alive. The village of My Lai, where in 1969 American soldiers killed 504 civilians, including 210 children, became a tragic symbol of this war. All in all, during the whole period of this conflict, the USA dropped on Vietnam more than 6 million tons of bombs, which is 2.5 times as much as on Germany during the Second World War. In 1973, the American Army, under the pressure of the rebels, withdrew from Vietnam, and only 2 years later did the puppet regime in Saigon fall. However, the Vietnamese paid a high price for their freedom. More than 1 million Vietnamese people became the victims of American aggressors.
Welcome back. Musk had initially invested $100 million of his own money into Neuralink. The device received an FDA breakthrough designation in 2021 and would be robotically stitched onto the brain to ultimately address musculoskeletal and neurological problems, as well as track movement and stream music. Musk described it as a Fitbit in your skull. Now, Neuralink has since raised over $300 million for R&D, as well as to develop its robotic surgeon that would be responsible for implanting the chip. Musk claims that the entire procedure will be performed by a robot, and he expects the surgery to end up costing only a few thousand dollars. Now, muscle-controlled prosthetic limbs for amputees or quadriplegics are also making huge advances. New AI chip technology would allow patients to control robotic body parts using their thoughts by employing machine learning. Currently today, prosthetics on the market detect shoulder, chest, or muscle movement. They have sensors to recognize signals in specific regions of the human body that tell it to move in a certain way. Adapting to these muscle-driven limbs is not easy for most patients, and they are unsuitable for physically weak individuals. With AI chips, these neuroprosthetic arms move with the will of the patient's minds. It is efficient, easy to use, and a lot more intuitive than any commercial prosthetic system available. While the cost of prosthetics vary from limb to limb, a basic muscle-controlled upper limb prosthetic costs about $7,000. In contrast, an AI-powered prosthetic could range anywhere from $30,000 to over $100,000. These are definitely luxury items and are priced accordingly because of the expensive AI chips that power the limbs. These neuromorphic chips seek to imitate the learning ability and energy efficiency of human brains. And this is proving to be very popular with the prosthetics as the system is capable of simulating 100 million neurons. Now, to the 1 million global new amputees yearly, these new prosthetic systems will help lessen the learning curve in adjusting to their new normal. In addition to that, as technology continues to advance, these prosthetics also help to supplement healthy individuals with additional limbs. Think AI-powered exoskeletons that can help you lift 200 pounds effortlessly. Now, while these devices are not yet available commercially to consumers, they are available to certain clinics and cost upwards of $80,000. While the far end of biohacking spectrums that includes AI chips and surgery implants is not yet available to mainstream consumers, the middle ground has now been popularized by celebrities. Athletes like Tom Brady, tech bros like Bezos and Dorsey, and many more have popularized things like intermittent fasting, cryotherapy for muscle recovery, and boosting metabolism, which costs about $50 per two-minute session. LED infrared saunas to promote anti-aging, which can cost over $100 per hour session. Now let's bring in Ian Kong, a metaverse expert, futurist, and author. So are there any complications from the surgery? And how big are these chips? What are they made of? And how often do they need to be replaced or updated?
So microchips that are used in healthcare today, especially in brain implants or any other biometric that's inserted into the body, the sizes vary, and the size has dramatically reduced from the last few years or the last decade since this research started happening. Right now, you could have a microchip that's 1 millimeter long and you can't even see it. So it really depends on what the microchip is being used for. If you look at some of the new technologies, such as Neuralink in case of brain implants, it's no longer a microchip, but it's a very thin sensor that's thinner than a hair on a person's head that is inserted into the brain. So it really, really depends on what technology is being used, how information and data is being gathered and collected from that microchip or that technology, and then where is it going? So there's no one standard, one fit for all. And also because this field is very new, there's cutting edge research happening. There aren't many FDA approvals on this. Anything and everything is available out there at a very research level. So we'll see where this technology goes.
And now, what is the cost to get the surgery, and when will insurance cover it?
So at this moment, a lot of insurance companies, if not all, may not cover surgeries where you're getting any kind of an implant. Now, again, there's different types of implants. If I put something, a microchip that has an RFID reader subcutaneously, I put it under my skin and I use it, let's say, pay at Starbucks or pay at my grocery store, that's a very simple kind of an implant. But the chip is very simple. There isn't much in there. There's an RFID sensor in there that's encoded to a specific information that you get to program before you embed it in. So a few hundred to a couple of thousand dollars of costs incurred when you're doing that. When you look at more expensive or more researched kind of technologies that are out there, they're not commercially available. You cannot just go and walk into a clinic and say, hey, I need a brain implant. I need a retina implant. I need a hearing implant of some kind. So can I put it on my insurance? Insurance companies typically work with generic general health issues, diabetes, or chronic illnesses, arthritis and what have you, dental eye benefits. And they would not cover any of these surgeries. The reason being, they're very expensive. There isn't a straightforward pricing guide that you can open and say, hey, this is how much it's going to cost me to do these implants. I don't anticipate insurance companies to cover these in the near future because the costs are dramatically high. Again, as I said, majority of these implants are not FDA approved. They're not in the general sense of healthcare out there, and not everybody in the population would get them. So I see approvals within healthcare being a long path that needs to be chased.
What does the future of these chips look like? Do they get bigger, smaller, more powerful? And what else will these chips be capable of doing? Has Elon Musk's Neuralink evolved to treat diseases like schizophrenia or autism, as he has stated, that will stimulate the brain and record brain activity?
So the future of these chips and this technology is really headed into, first of all, the form factor becoming smaller. Chips are becoming smaller. They're carrying more data, carrying more information. There's optical fiber technology rather than a wire being put in. So on that side, there's definitely dramatic improvements that are happening. If you remember back in the 80s or the 90s, we had big giant desktop computers and we all were hooked onto desktops. But now your Apple iWatch or your iPhone or your any smartphone is 1,000 times more powerful than those computers we used and those desktops. And we don't even use desktops anymore. So what is happening with technology is the form factor, which is the shape and the size of technology, is decreasing and it's becoming smaller. Capacity is doubling, quadrupling every single year. And so that is good news when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to chips and microprocessors that would be embedded inside the body of a person, because now you don't have to cut as much. Now the body is not going to reject that sensor or that chip as much, because if you insert anything into a human body, the human body will reject it. It'll form layers of different fluids around it, and it will really try to protect itself. And that's the natural protection mechanism we have. So that's great news. Form factor is becoming smaller. In the future also, we're looking at maybe artificial intelligence working really intelligently and actually working properly, intelligently getting more data, trying to correlate all the data it collects and try to figure out what is happening within the human body. So let's say we use these microchips in a person who's physically disabled. They cannot move their arm or leg or don't have body movement. The chips may be able to read information and provide healthcare practitioners information about what parts of muscles are not working, which muscles need activation, or what is wrong. I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't comment on that. But when it comes to technology, we're definitely making progress, but a lot more studies need to be done. A lot more lab work needs to be done. And hopefully in the next few years, we might have treatments and cures available for conditions that we are unable to treat right now.
And what about the Neural Engineering System Design, or NESD program sponsored by DARPA, that will build the bridge between the brains and computers? Has that program achieved its goal to link matter and microchips?
So many different technologies have come and stayed and gone. The specifically technologies by DARPA and others, everything is experimental. If you actually watch some of the new sci-fi movies, for example, I Am Mother, you watch Terminator, you watch any modern sci-fi movie, you'll see all the technologies that we're talking about happen, but in a virtual world, in a movie dramatized way. What is happening on the ground is different. Technology by DARPA that you mentioned is still very early in its early stages. We hear a lot about technologies being used in espionage, and we hear in movies and other news that brain wave sensing technologies are being used, or mind reading technologies are used. Theoretically, yes, many of them are possible, and we don't know what people are working on within their laboratories and in the secret kind of labs. But these technologies are not out here. They're not in a hospital. Until they're not proven to be working, they're not allowed to work through regulated means. We don't have access to them. And I hope some of these come through and we are able actually to benefit from them.
That was very insightful. Thank you so much for your time. Ultimately, biohacking is a mindset as much as any specific action or discipline. The mindset of biohacking is the goal of optimizing your life in regards to your health, performance, work, using all the tools and technology that we have available to us. The popularity of biohacking has boomed in the past 10 years with people trying to take their own health in their own hands, using technology to track various data points in their lives. There are also things like Experiment, which is a Kickstarter program for research projects that lets people crowdfund research that interests them. Open Insulin, for example, is a project that is trying to make the production of insulin cheap and easy to do at home. And this project sparked massive interest and might create a pathway for people to start looking at biohacking for personalized medicine. The open source Gender Codes aims to engineer transgenetic tobacco plants to produce cheaper gender hormones for trans people. More and more, community labs are giving people the tools and knowledge to design experiments to hack their lives. The history of science is full of stories of doctors and researchers being their own guinea pig to prove whether or not their idea works. Sox tried the polio vaccine on himself, not to mention August Beer, who used the spinal anesthesia on himself before anyone else. Biohackers have long been frustrated with the FDA's sluggishness in greenlighting all sorts of treatments. It can take up to 10 years for a new drug to be developed and approved in the US for people with serious health conditions. And this is why biohackers want to empower people to experiment on themselves. However, that's not to say that anyone can do this. There are serious risks and repercussions when experiments go wrong, like when a man injected himself with untested herpes treatment, or when another shared a self-created gene therapy for lactose intolerance. The stakes in biohacking seem to be getting higher and higher, and eventually, someone is going to end up hurt if they do not have the proper medical or technological knowledge. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you back here next time on The Cost of Everything.